Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll go ahead and read verses 3, 4, and 5 this morning, or this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3. Paul says here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he says, I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Father, we thank you for your word and ask that you would bless it as we learn from it tonight. Father, may your Holy Spirit give guidance and instruction. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this portion of Scripture, we all understand the relationship that Paul and Timothy had. Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. Now, of course, there was no biological connection there between Timothy and Paul. But what Paul became to Timothy is what we call today a mentor. A mentor is just simply, and if you do your dictionary definition, just a wise counselor. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that's older mentoring someone that's younger, although that's the way it's commonly used today and applied today. But I think from this passage of Scripture, we can learn how to mentor someone else. I've heard almost my whole life about the generation gap between those that are more mature and those that are younger. And I think a lot of the reason generation gap is perceived is just simply because we don't always respond well to a younger generation. And I think if we will learn what Paul did with Timothy, there's three things here that he did. I think it'll help us understand how to relate to the younger generation, because we need to mentor those that are younger, especially those that are younger in Christ. It is our responsibility. He talks about in other places of Scripture rather than here, but it's the responsibility of those that have been in Christ for a while to mentor those that have not been in Christ as long, whether they be younger or older in age, and generally younger. But we have another word for it that we use in Christian circles, and that's called discipleship. Discipleship. So that we see those that are younger in Christ and younger in age develop into the person of God that God designed them to be. And he chooses to use us. So what are these three things that Paul did to mentor the younger generation or the next generation? Well, the first thing we find in verse number 3 is that Paul was an example. He was an example. He mentions two different things that he was an example of to Timothy. And when Timothy thought of Paul, he understood this is who Paul is. And Paul isn't just saying empty words. The first thing we saw that Paul was an example of was of faithful service. He says at the beginning of verse number 3, he says, I thank God. Now notice this next phrase. Whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. And so what he's saying here to Timothy, he says, look, you understand my record. You understand my lifestyle. You understand the choices I've made, that with a pure conscience, in other words, I genuinely and sincerely served God with everything I had. He says to Timothy, in essence, what he's saying here is, I gave you an example to follow of faithfulness to God, of commitment to God, of doing those things that a Christian ought to do, and just simply utilizing the spiritual gifts that God has given me. A lot of the problem, there's a generation gap, is because of perceived hypocrisy, the younger people towards the elder people. And that's because they're telling the younger generation to do something that they themselves didn't exhibit in their lives. There wasn't any question here in Timothy's mind. Paul did exactly what he said he did. And so Paul was an example of faithful service, but he was also an example of faithful prayer. And he mentions that here in the second half of this verse when he says that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And so we see a consistent prayer life. And not just a consistent prayer life, but also a specific prayer life where Paul was remembering Timothy. And so he was praying for Timothy on a regular basis. And Timothy understood that, and Timothy knew that everywhere he went, he had someone praying for him. And I think if you do a history of the great preachers of Christianity, you find that they had at least one person that was faithfully praying for them, that was taking them before the throne of grace on a regular basis. Because I believe that God answers prayer and that God responds to the prayers of His people. And there was something that was going along, around on the internet not too long ago, how to get rid of your preacher. And one of the things was just pray for him every day. And he'll be so successful that another church will take him off your hands. And there were some other things to do too. One of them was just volunteer for anything that needs to be done in the church, and he'll have a heart attack and won't be able to. And so it's kind of on the humorous end. But there's some truth to these things that they were saying. And one of them was prayer. But when it comes to mentoring the next generation, we need to be in prayer for these younger people that are in our church family. You know, we look around and wonder, where are they? And we've got a few here tonight, but we also have a lot that could be here that for one reason or another have chosen not to be here. Why is that? I wish I had an answer, but we need to be in faithful prayer. And I'd encourage you to just take a list. Look around on some Sunday morning and put their names down, or look through the church directory and put their names on a prayer sheet and pray for them on a daily basis, that God would work in their lives and that they would surrender to God and that they would make commitments to God. We make commitments to anywhere but God anymore today. God is stuck with the leftovers of our time and the leftovers of our abilities and leftover of our talents. And so that's unfortunate. Timothy knew that Paul was an example, and Timothy had a good example to follow. And Timothy knew how he was supposed to live because of how Paul lived. And so the first thing that Paul teaches us here on mentoring the next generation is be an example. In verse number 4, we have the second thing that Paul teaches us by his own example on how to mentor, is that he was an encourager, an encourager. In verse number 4, he says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." Now, it appears that Timothy was struggling. He mentioned in the middle of this verse Timothy's tears. I think what was going on is Timothy was beginning to question his calling. Timothy was beginning to wonder if he was cut out to be a pastor, if he was cut out to do the things that God had called him to do. And Timothy, I think, was in danger of throwing in the towel. You know, that's not the time to attack someone for their faults and for the things they've done wrong. That's the time to build up and to encourage, to edify, is the word that we use today. And so that's what Paul is doing here with Timothy. The first thing he does is he lets Timothy know that he missed him, that Timothy was a friend to him. He says, "Greatly desiring to see thee." They had been separated because of the ministry, and the ministry separates friends and family. And that's just the way it is. You give those things up for God. Now, they're still family and they're still friends, but you just don't have the fellowship that you would like to have. Man, I'd love to be with the grandkids. I really shocked Tammy Beal last Sunday morning. I felt kind of bad for saying it after her response. But when I was up here on the platform, she was sitting down here to my left, and Belle was sitting right next to her, and Tammy was just having a good old time with her granddaughter. And I thought, man, I wish I could do that with Chloe. I guess I was guilty of coveting her ability to be there with her granddaughter. And so after the service, when Tammy came by to shake my hand, I said, "You know, I really hate you." And she was really taken aback. And so, of course, I explained myself and said, "You know, my closest grandchild is 3 hours away. It'd be nice to be by the grandkids, but it's nicer to be in the will of God, doing what God has called me to do." And so ministry separates, and Paul and Timothy had that separation. They had a very close bond. But as Timothy was struggling, Paul wasn't able to be there with him to give him that encouragement, that counsel, and that compassion that Timothy needed to go along. And so he was limited to a letter that would take time to get there. But in that letter, he wanted Timothy to know, hey, I've missed you. I've missed you. I just miss your fellowship, miss being around you. Just let those you're trying to mentor know you miss them when they're not where they ought to be. The second thing that Paul does by way of encouragement is let them know that he cared. He was aware of what was going on in Timothy's life. He says, being mindful of thy tears. Paul says, I know what's going on. I know what you're going through. I know the struggles you're experiencing. And I'm there with you, and I care about that, and I wish it wasn't so, and I wish I could help. So all I can do is pray, but prayer should never be discounted, is essentially what he's telling Timothy and all that's being said here. But he wants Timothy to know that he cared about him, and he's encouraging him with those words. And the third way that he encourages here is just simply that he valued Timothy. He says, Timothy, you bring me great joy. You have value to me. Now, sometimes the younger generation don't feel that they have much to offer to the older generation other than Social Security checks and wondering if that's even going to hold up. But nevertheless, sometimes we need to let the younger generation know and the newer Christians that they have something to offer, encouraging them in that fashion because they see how someone who's experienced in serving the Lord does things, and they think, boy, I can't do it that well. They do it a whole lot better than I can ever do it. And so they think, well, I'm just kind of useless for God. I'm willing, but useless. And that's just not the truth. But the devil will play tricks with their minds, and I think that's where Timothy was going through right here in his mind. And Paul's just saying, look, you have a lot to offer, not just to the church there in Ephesus, but to me personally, you bring me great joy. And so, Paul teaching us how to mentor as he mentors Timothy, well, we learn that he was an example, that he was an encourager, but then also, thirdly, he was an exhorter. He was an exhorter. And exhorting is just, it's almost the same as a rebuke. Letting them know where their weaknesses are and encouraging them to strengthen that which is weak. And he brings this out in verse number 5 when he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Paul is saying, look, I remember the past when you were with me and you had that faith that was sincere. That's what the opposite, that's what unfeigned means, is sincere. The opposite would be fake or put on. He says, you had true, genuine faith in God, that God would get you through, that God would work through you, that God would do mighty things. He says, I remember how you used to be, Timothy. I remember the past. And he also, in regards to the past, says, Timothy, you came from good stock. He mentions his grandmother and his mother, and boy, what a challenge there is in here for parents and grandparents. The influence that we can have on our kids and our grandchildren. What an example Lois is of a grandmother. I know a lot of us have grandkids in here, and we can have, and we should have, a spiritual impact on our grandchildren. And I was so thrilled to be able to go down and visit Chloe here recently and just be able to assure her mom and dad that Chloe understands salvation. I'm glad to be able to have at least a little part in the spiritual life of my grandkids. And hopefully the day won't be too much longer and I hear a couple other of them will get saved. You know, Caleb is right there in age now, going to in a good environment, a good church, and a good Christian school. So I expect it won't be too long I'll hear about him. But I like to have a part. And I've shared the gospel with him before. Last time I saw him, he was too young to understand it all. But you can have a real impact on those grandkids. They ought to know that grandma and grandpa walk with God. And so Paul is exhorting Timothy and saying, look, you don't have any excuses. You've seen your mom and your grandma walk with the Lord. You know how this is done. You know the drill. You know that it's not a bed of roses. You know that challenges come your way. And so just buck up and be a man about this and do what you know to be done. And the third way he exhorts them is by letting them know he believed in them. And it's by way almost of a challenge as he concludes this fifth verse when he says, I am persuaded that in thee also. What he's saying in the first half of the verse is, I know you had faith in the past. And what he's saying here in the last part of the verse, he's saying, I am persuaded that you haven't lost the faith. I'm persuaded that you still believe God. I'm persuaded that you still trust in God. I'm still persuaded that you'll still expect God to do the miraculous. And so Paul exhorted him after encouraging him, after setting the example. That's how you mentor the next generation, or how you disciple the next generation. We've got a group of young people here in our church family that can use mentors. Will you do the part? Will you rise to the challenge? God will bless our church if we will, and will bless you personally if you'll get involved. And so, let's mentor as we have opportunity. Father, we're grateful for your word, and just pray now that you'll bless the challenge of mentoring and or discipleship to our hearts and minds today for your honor and glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.